You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on a sunny Tuesday afternoon here in eastern Iowa. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Good show coming up for you as we are going to be talking with Jim Nelson of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier coming up in just a little bit, about a half an hour away, and we will discuss UNI football, brand new era of Panther football as the Panthers with a brand new head coach. Coach Stepsis stepping in, if you will, for Mark Farley, who announced his retirement after last season. What are the Panthers going to look like? We'll talk about that with Nelly coming up here in about 25, 30 minutes or so. Prior to that, we will comfort Isaac and talk about some of the news of the day in the world of sports. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as well, and more coming your way. 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you, 319-366-1600. That's phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, give us a call. Always like to hear from our listeners. That's also 319-366-1600. As we come your way at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And, how goes it today?
Going well. Kind of a warm streak here, but that's just fine. Afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And, you know, I thought about picking up roses or chocolates or maybe a Utah Mammoth sweater for Isaac. But
I don't think they're out yet.
And then I figured maybe he's really not that upset. I don't know.
Well, let's go right to the source. Isaac Elzinga, our resident Utah sports fan, tough night last night, wasn't it, for you and the Utah Jazz and the good people of the state of Utah?
Yeah, wasn't great. Also, I guess I don't know why I should have expected this. I don't know why I expected anything else. Obviously, the league has rigged it against Utah and all the small market
Cajun
teams.
Cajun Troy agrees with you.
No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't rigged. I know it's just luck, but man, this was the one that I really, really wanted this draft because I don't know. Sometimes in the NBA, there's not ever a sure thing. This felt like pretty close to a sure thing as far as prospects go with Cooper Flagg. So we'll see. I'm sure there needs to be a little bit of a reevaluation on how the odds are done because there has to be a way to differentiate teams who are actively trying to lose and teams that are just bad. Like the Jazz, they did tank a little bit. Like, I do think if they put all their healthy players out there and started their legit starters every night, they probably win a couple more games. But the Jazz's biggest problem is not them tanking. The Jazz's biggest problem is a lack of talent on the squad. Like, they are just a legitimately bad team. So there has to be a better way of making sure teams that have zero talent on their team can actually get some in the draft with high picks.
Well, we'll get to that and how this draft, and it's more of the norm than not. But I think there's an underlying thought that the NBA has to do this because there will be tanking going on. There will be teams that are going to be trying to lose. Now, I use the NFL as an example, a shining example. I use the National Hockey League for the most part as a shining example because they're professionals. They want to play this thing out. Now, in both, especially in the NHL, you do get to see some teams bring up some youngsters at the end. You see that in Major League Baseball as well. When you're out of it, you're, and your minor league teams are out of the playoffs, you tend to see some of those players come up. Not as much as you used to, because you've got all sorts of, if you play too many of this and that, you lose your rookie status, and you don't want to tax arms and things like that. So it's not like as prevalent as it used to be, Mark. But in Major League Baseball, you always look forward, if your team was out of it, to see some guys. And you weren't trying to lose games. You were trying to win, but in a different way.
I'm coming at this in a different way, too, from a novice standpoint in terms of the NBA. But even a novice can tell something's not quite right. The lottery's not new by any means. I understand that. But Dallas gets the number one pick, and less than 2% chance of getting that. Dallas won 22 more games than the Utah Jazz did last year. Dallas was in the play-in tournament, was it not?
Yes, it was.
Anybody that makes a play-in tournament, I don't think, should really be in this lottery.
I mean, agree. I think I agree with that.
Once you have a lottery, you get a chance. And Utah got a chance and ended up with number five. I mean, the top three teams with the best chances got picks 4, 5, and 6. I other than worst record gets first pick, I don't. Do people like the lottery? Maybe they do like the lottery. I don't know. But it just doesn't seem quite right to me. You're just spinning your wheels then in terms of other teams being able to compete unless they make monumental trades, what have you. But Cooper Flagg is a player that can change a franchise, no question about it.
But, did we weigh the ping pong balls?
I mean, to call it a conspiracy theory, you got to say Ernst & Young are on the take. And I don't think that's the case, but I don't know. That's the glaring thing to me when the number one, the team that earns the number one overall pick won 22 more games than the team that had the best odds, or one of the teams that had the best odds. Doesn't seem quite right.
I would agree. Now, of the four major sports, and I apologize to soccer right now, Isaac.
I recognize its status in the United States. It's all good.
Hockey, baseball, football, and basketball. Only football has the absolute, if you finished last, you are picking first unless you were dumb enough to trade that pick at some point before the draft, or before somebody had a chance to get that pick a week ahead of the draft, I should say. That's a clearer definition of it. But in the NHL, they have a lottery. In Major League Baseball, they have a lottery. That's why the White Sox can't win. They're 10th. They're picking 10th. Not that it matters a whole lot in Major League Baseball more often than not, but still going to get a good player, but should be first. They are 10th. Basketball, and as people are pointing out on the text line, it seems like this happens more often than not. In hockey, you can only move up once every few years,
My understanding is once every 5 years you can move up from your allotted spot. I could be wrong on that, but that was my understanding yesterday reading about it.
Maybe there should be some rule in the NBA that you can only move up like a max of one or two spots from where you finished in the regular season. I feel bad for Utah. I feel bad for you. I feel bad for their fans, Isaac, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think there has to be a better way of differentiating teams that are tanking versus teams that are just bad. I would say I like the idea of maybe only letting the lottery be like the bottom seven teams, like limiting the teams that actually enter the lottery. It's not just any team that misses out on the playoffs. Then you kind of have your set draft spot, something along those lines, because that feels more like you're identifying teams that actually do need an influx of youth and to get better. So that would be where I lean. I also think that 14% for the worst team in the league feels like a bit
pretty low.
It feels like a low number. Yeah. I'm not saying it's got to balloon up to 50% or anything like that, but 14% feels a bit low.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Cyclone Tim saying, luck, is it? Dallas loses Luka to the Lakers. No one else even had a chance to get him. And amazingly enough, Dallas gets the number one pick. Now, 1731 says, the one thing I like about the lottery is it makes it so tanking doesn't guarantee you the top pick. You shouldn't have to worry about that, though.
I mean, Utah, Washington, and Charlotte were within two games of one another. Yep. They won 17, 18, 19 games, respectively. So it's not like Utah was the worst team by 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't. Again, I don't think. Did the Jazz tank some games? Absolutely. But even if the Jazz didn't tank any games, I think they're like a 25-win team maximum. Like, they win 8-ish more games. Their biggest problem is they don't have good players, like enough good players. They have a couple throughout the roster, but...
Here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem with the NBA, and we got some breaking news we're going to get to coming up in a moment that is very big. So I apologize for cutting the NBA short. Get rid of 82 games. Ludicrous, stupid... Way too many. Look what's happening right now in the playoffs. Top seeds are losing.
Top players are out.
Top players are out, but top teams are losing. You're sitting guys anyway, you know, 8 to 12 games. Why are we playing 82 games? Why is this thing going from October to June? And then you wouldn't have to worry about nearly as much about tanking. About resting guys, there's your answer.
I think you could also make the case that this change has only increased tanking, because then if you're not going to be in the playoffs, you at least are a little bit more incentivized to be like the 10th team in the lottery, because that gives you a pretty significant chance. So I think you can argue that this increases the number of teams tanking, not decreases it, because I know that the teams at the bottom don't have as high of a chance, but those teams on the fringes might just kind of say, well, we'll take our chances in the lottery. We'll see if the ping pong balls fall the right way.
And Danny Ainge did choose to trade his best players. 0818, very good. Before we move on here, tough thing with the NBA from 0622 is even when the bad teams get talent from the draft, they come in so young, by the time they hit their prime, usually the team is still bad and they can leave after that initial contract is up. And Philadelphia showed that hoping drafts pan out doesn't work. And you're right. It's a lottery ticket, literally and figuratively, more in the NBA than any other sport, because obviously you have to stay 3 years in college football before you're draft eligible. Baseball, if you don't leave after that first year, you have to stay a couple more years. Or if you come out of high school, there are regulations to that. Basketball, no, you can be an 18-year-old and go into the draft, and you're not a fully developed adult at that time.
Yeah, one of them is going to Utah. Fears from Oklahoma, what do you think?
I haven't even thought about who they're going to draft now. There has been good players drafted at 5. Dwayne Wade was 5th overall, who I believe is part of the Jazz ownership group as well. So that would be fun. But again, it's not that the Jazz can't get a good player there. It's just that this year it felt like not only was Cooper Flagg sort of as sure of a thing as a prospect as you can kind of get from college to the pros, it also seemed like he was the type of guy, if he was really, really good, wherever he got drafted, he was staying there for at least like 10 years. It felt like he was someone who was going to sign the rookie extension and probably stay through that full rookie extension at least. So that's kind of why it's pretty tough for the small market teams who lost out on that, because it's hard to get players to commit to a Utah or a Charlotte.
Dallas put their envelope in the freezer. This says 2708. Hey, we got breaking news here at 3:20, and substantial breaking news. This now being reported by most every outlet. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred reinstating several players that have been previous to this under lifetime bans by Major League Baseball. So that would be, namely, Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson are now eligible to be voted into the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, they would, obviously, with Joe Jackson and now with Pete Rose, unfortunately, go in posthumously. But according to ESPN, first one to report this earlier on today, MLB has permanently made several players, up to 16 players, eligible now to be included into the Hall of Fame. And like I said, the two biggest names are Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, I want to read more about this. It's fresh news. I'm sure you have reactions out there. 319-366-1600. I'm curious why now. Pete Rose died in September, and many of these that have been removed from the ineligibility list, if not all, are deceased. So maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But it's going to bring up a debate that's going to rage for quite some time about whether you would vote for Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. And I don't have a vote. I'm not sure right now how I would vote. It's not unlike the steroid era players or those that were implicated in the steroid era and writers not voting them in. So it's going to be quite a debate.
16 players are on this list. Now, 15 players and one former owner on this list. Including eight members of the 1919 so-called Chicago Black Sox. Not only Joe Jackson, but also Eddie Seacott and George Buck Weaver. Weaver to the day he died. And if you have not seen Eight Men Out, you need to see that movie. Incredible movie. And I think pretty much stuck everything right on. As far as the situation behind that White Sox team. But Weaver always said that he did not take anything and he should not be included on this. He was there when it was talked about, and that's why he was included with that. And now he has a chance to get into the Hall of Fame. Now, this all got started, obviously, due to litigation. I want to find out the lawyer's name that was going to, that would be Jeffrey Lendkoff. He is an attorney who petitioned for Rose's removal from the list back in January. And a little bit of talk from a higher up in the government as well, we'll just say, also helped out. But looks like the quickest that they can get in to the Hall of Fame would be 2028. For Pete Rose and Joe Jackson. Now, I don't know why they're saying 2028.
Yeah.
But they've been out more than 5 years.
Some right? have been dead for more than 5 years. Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go. Marcus says, Manfred trying to save face? I like it. Since they were lifetime bans and are no longer with us, the punishment has been fulfilled. Good move by the MLB, says 1345. How can you not vote for Pete Rose? He deserves it. I agree. Did you kind of think this was coming? I mean, we've talked about this for how many years, Mark?
Yeah.
I mean, 17 years we've talked about this.
Ever since he was banned.
And now all of a sudden, just like that, here we go. You're in. I think Pete Rose will go in whenever he is eligible.
You think so?
I think he will. I think he will. It will not be nearly unanimous, but I think he'll go in. How do you not keep Pete Rose?
Oh, as a player, no question about it.
Right.
Same way with Barry Bonds.
Yep.
Same way with others. But when you do something against the rules of baseball, and it's a cardinal rule of baseball, gambling, and you can debate whether he bet on his own team, bet on other teams, whatever it may be at that time, It was clearly a violation, and he was suspended for it. Steroids is an accusation of steroids is an entirely different thing, but people have weighed in strongly about the fact that some of these guys, Bonds and McGuire and others, Clemens, should not be in the Hall of Fame. So, again, it's you can't dispute Rose as a player, okay? I can't dispute that at all, but some will dispute his character.
Can you put on his plaque about his gambling situation? Would that be a compromise, perhaps?
Well, you'd have to redo Ty Cobb's. You'd have to redo Gaylord Perry's.
He may have thrown his spitball. Ty Cobb may have been kind of a bad person. Yeah. So breaking news right there. How about Joe Jackson? Does Joe Jackson have any problem getting in?
As a player, no.
Now, what I've read, and according to the movie, and I think everybody at this time who knows about Shoeless Joe Jackson knows that he was not someone that was very, he was not smart and did not have a lot of schooling. And with that, they told him to do this. He did it.
Yeah.
And that's what got Joe Jackson
banned. Over 100 years ago.
Does Joe Jackson have a better shot at getting in earlier than Pete Rose has? I don't know. Obviously, the people that knew Joe Jackson are no longer with us. The people that know of Pete Rose are still around.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should both be in.
Bottom line, interesting move from Manfred, and that's a whole different debate.
It is. Does this make him more of a... liked fellow?
Pete?
No, Rob Manfred.
Well, some people will never like him.
True. Very true. Steroid era saved baseball. How Mickey Mantle gets off easy. Yeah. That was a whole thing, too. Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays with the casinos that they were representing. That was also a big thing back in the day. Now you don't even think about it.
No.
Now you don't even think about it. 1731. Rose did nothing to affect his numbers. Bonds, McGuire, Sosa, Clemens, etc. all altered their numbers. What is it? The famous line, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's racing.
Well, it's going to be interesting next Tuesday to talk to Cal Eldred about this, our baseball segment, because Cal is very old school,
yep.
And he's weighed in on the steroid era players. I think I know how he's going to feel about Pete Rose, but it'll be interesting to talk with him about that.
That'll be next Tuesday.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. Jim Nelson going to join us coming up in just a little bit. I'm sure if we got time, we'll dive into that breaking news more. And certainly Spencer on Sports will have more on that from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. You may have to take out a wrestling bit in there or something else, Mark. We may have to condense the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update a little bit. Right now, it's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, a classic local American restaurant. And they are open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday.
Editing again.
Editing.
Mark.
Get that red marker out.
Nelson Brands has been named head wrestling coach at Iowa City Regina High School. Brands recently completed his career at Iowa, where he was a two-time national qualifier and an All-American in 2023. He also was a three-time state champ at Iowa City West. Also in wrestling, former Olympic champion and three-time NCAA titleist Kyle Snyder was arrested last weekend for engaging in prostitution. Snyder was one of 16 people arrested during a sting in Columbus, Ohio. Next season's presumptive Iowa starting quarterback Mark Gronowski announced on X that he has graduated with a master's degree in engineering from his previous school, South Dakota State. The field and early odds for the 150th Preakness Stakes are out. Journalism is the favorite at 8-5 in the 9-horse field. Kentucky Derby winner Sovereignty and third place Baeza will not race. Finally, two games in Major League Baseball tonight have been postponed due to weather on the East Coast. The Twins, Orioles, and Cardinals, Phillies matchups will be made up tomorrow as doubleheaders.
Rain, the only thing that can slow down the Cardinals right now.
And the Twins.
And the Twins, the two hottest teams in baseball. Got to get to a break. Got to talk to Jim Nelson coming up here in just a couple moments. Right now, it is your time to enter into the Spring into Cash giveaway here on 1600 ESPN. We've teamed up with a national contest to give our listeners a chance to win a $5,000 prize. Today's winning keyword is sprint. Sprint. Go to KGYMRadio.com right now. Enter that word in the entry form for your chance to win. Again, today's word is sprint. Again, go to KGYMRadio.com. Enter the keyword in the entry form for your chance to win. We'll come back, talk some UNI Panther football when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. There's going to be a mix of sun and clouds today, and it will be warm and humid. As we head into this afternoon between 2 to 5 o'clock, there's a chance of a few spotty showers. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies tonight. Temperatures will be dropping down to a low around 60. Tomorrow will be sunny and warm with temperatures in the mid-80s. And then on Thursday, it gets hot and humid with temperatures in the upper 80s and the chance for a few isolated storms. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by The Villas at Stony Point, Randy's Flooring, Revival Theater Company, and 1600 ESPN.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and life's busy and Quickstar gets it. So that's why they offer fresh coffee and tasty bakery treats to grab and go meals. Quickstar is your one stop for variety, quality, and fast service. And they've got fully guaranteed fuel, which keeps you moving. Plus, enjoy free ATMs, free air for your tires, and sparkling clean restrooms. Quickstar, where your day gets better when you stop on by at your neighborhood Quickstar. And when you're there, don't forget to take advantage of these great specials. Nature's Touch Butter, 1 pound, $2.99, limit two. And the Quickery Buns, great for the whatever you choose to grill. Hamburger, hot dogs, or brats, 8-count, 2 for $3, and limit 4. And don't forget to use your Quick Rewards app. Sign up for it, and it makes your life a whole lot easier. Stop on by your neighborhood Quickstar.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long, proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMRadio.com for scheduled games.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey, guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it. But not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at Hims.com/joy. And from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit. Hims.com/joy.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Back with you at 3:35 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Lots of opinions coming in as far as the breaking news. And if you missed it, the Major League Baseball reinstating 16 players that had previously been given lifetime bans. And that includes Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson. They have been removed along with 14 others, 13 players, one former owner from a list of banned people from the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. So, as I mentioned, we've had a lot of talk about that and a lot of interesting things coming down on the text line. I didn't think I'd see this day. It's really weird because it hasn't really hit me yet because we, like I said, Mark, we've been talking about this for so long. And one of the great debates of sports talk radio is, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Should Barry Bonds ultimately be in the Hall of Fame? And now, here we go. We can do it now if they choose. Crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be long. What'd you say, 2028, they're first eligible?
Sounds like, according to several reports, it is 2028 will be the first year that they are eligible. Now, I have no idea where they came up with that.
Waiting period is like that.
But that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
All right. We go from baseball to football. And Jim Nelson, kind enough to join us from the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. You can give him a follow on X or Twitter at Nelly13, N-E-L-L-E-Y, 13. And happy summer to you. Happy May to you, Jim.
It's nice out today. Might have to go for a walk.
It's a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Did you ever think Pete Rose would get in the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, as a lifelong Reds fan, you know, no. But, yeah, it's well documented. You know, I didn't think he'd ever get in, you know. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I just never thought he was going to get in, and that's the way it was going to be. And, you know, but if you've ever been to the Hall of Fame, it's a great trip. I recommend making the Coop some. I've been 2 or 3 times. And he's all over the Hall of Fame there. You know, there's a lot of memorabilia about him. He's just not a Hall of Famer. Mm. So, in that terms. But, you know, I never saw it coming. Yeah, I didn't see this day coming either. You know, I know there was a speculation that the president and Rob Manfred talked a while back and talked about this, and I thought nothing would come of it. There's been a lot of talk, but yeah, to be frank, I didn't see it coming.
Spring football. Let's dive into that a little bit. Seems like the quarterback competition is the main storyline, or at least was.
Yeah, it's you know, with you and I think they got some good options there. Really, with those top three, you kind of know what you got. You got you know, Matthew Shekelman, who played a handful of games last year. Aiden Dunn started the year as a starting quarterback, then Matthew Shekelman took over, and then Dunn finished when Shekelman got hurt late in the year. Those two guys, and then you got the Arkansas State transfer, Jackson Daly, who prepped at Southeast Polk. All three very capable, and a freshman, Cale McThenia, who they're really excited about, very athletic. So four good options. I would say Shekelman is going to be the front runner heading into the fall. They won't, you know, Coach Stepsis wouldn't say that, but I think just with his arm strength and the biggest thing there was just command of the huddle. And, you know, and he felt when the command of the huddle was a little bit better with Shekelman, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a big jump in his play. So just reading between the lines, I think it's going to be Matthew Shekelman, but as it stands right now, going into that that preseason camp, you know, it could be either Shekelman, Dunn, or Jackson Daly.
What was it like to watch UNI football, albeit spring football, without Mark Farley on the sidelines? Todd Stepsis stepping in, the former Drake coach. What was it like? What were the changes? And how did people and the team react to it?
You know, one, I think the kind of answer your last question first is I think there's a general excitement there. You know, a new message, a new voice is being heard. I thought the spring crowd was pretty good. It was a couple thousand people out there at Cedar Falls High School because the dome is underneath the renovation right now. you know, I thought that was a pretty good spring, one of the better spring attended games. You know, it's like I said, people are generally excited about the new messages coming. You know, but it's really different for me, who's worked with the Farley for a couple decades or more. So it's really different. Again, I think it's also a good thing. You know, it's nice to hear a different message. You know, you went to practice. Practices were open. You could go and watch if you wanted. Hip hop music, country music was just blaring across the state, across the field all year long, all spring long. You know, a lot of excitement. You know, a lot of let's have fun, let's do some work, but we're gonna have fun doing it. Kind of a atmosphere there, and you know, I think the players, talking to them, they were really buying into what Coach Stepsis was saying.
Well, whether it be schemes or players or position battles, what else did you take out of the spring exercise?
Well, you know, like so the quarterback movement was that one's easy to follow and stuff. You know, the other stuff is going to be hard. You know, they got to replace both starting tackles. And, you know, Jared Penning graduated, and so did Tristan Roper. So that was I watched the offensive line, and they had their moments. They got five or six guys that are back that played significant snaps. So they have their moments, but then you have to look at it. The defensive line, you know, they lost two guys to the transfer portal, and Kanan Butler, he went to Iowa State, and Carter Hewitt landed at Illinois. They took some graduations from that RS also. That group was really lean, and then they had a bunch of injuries. So you're trying to weigh the success that the run game had against the defensive line that was decimated. Where do you factor that? How do you analyze that? I guess that's for Coach Steps and his staff to figure. They got some replacements coming in. Tulsa transfer Owen Ostrowski, he didn't play this year much of the spring. So it was hard to tell how much of that offensive line was partly that they're going to be okay, and how much was it because the defensive line was, you know, playing some depth pieces against some depth pieces.
Yeah. Tom Stepsis brought in a big, big class, 29 freshmen, 9 transfers, 25 of them from the state of Iowa. So heavy into the state of Iowa, got some good ones, some good transfers, including several, like you mentioned, the Tulsa kid, and then several from down the road out of Kirk Ferentz's program at Iowa. Is this going to be kind of the way back to the future, if you will? I mean, you think back to all the great UNI teams under Coach Farley, and even before that, they would get a ton of the top Iowa kids that either were like, well, he's an inch and a half too small to go play linebacker at Iowa, but darn it, he's really good in Cedar Falls. Is it kind of going back to that?
I think you're going to see a lot of that. I know right after they Stepsis was announced, they got here, they're going to try to do all 99 counties and hit every high school. And they went out, and I can't remember the exact number that Coach Stepsis said, but they almost did it. They had a few more they said they're going to have to hit in the spring, but they got to like 75% of the high schools back in December, in that early recruiting period, and they just wanted to get out. I think that's going to be their focus. That was their focus at Drake, and that's what the focus they think they need to do here in Iowa is they really need to get those Iowa kids locked up. And I know there's a reciprocity agreement. They're working on trying to get that so they can get with some of the surrounding states so they can give in-state tuition to those kids, you know, kind of give them another incentive to keep some of those kids here where they could, you know, where they were going out of state. So, you know, it's just one of those I don't know where I was going with that talk, guys. I'm all over the board. But anyway, I think to go with your comment is they really want to hit Iowa, and they want to get those Iowa kids and live and die with those Iowa kids.
Jim, obviously college sports and college football have been in a state of flux for a while. I'm curious on the FCS level. There's a piece of legislation or proposal anyway to allow FCS teams like you and I to add a 12th game in, I believe, beginning in 2026. I believe it's going to be voted on next month. Curious how that might impact you and I, whether it's, you know, you need to get into the bye game or and you can get another home game, what have you.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think here. In the next couple of years, I think they're going to have two bye, or they're going to be playing two bye games where they're going to go get paid. And I wish I had their schedule sitting in front of me. Like this past year, they played Nebraska and Hawaii. I think they got that a couple more times. But you'd think they'd probably want to get, with a 12th game, you'd want to get a home game where you can get a home crowd and maybe you can get 10,000 people into that state or into the dome. And and sell some concessions and other things like that. I think you'd want that to be a home game. It'll be interesting to see how they play out. Maybe it's a third bye game, where they're going to play somewhere for a third time. But to me and my thing, I think you'd want to have another home game, have another home crowd.
Jim Nelson joining us at 3:46 on a Tuesday edition of the Jim Class here on 1600 ESPN. That brings up, obviously, things behind the scenes here. One, you mentioned the dome, a little bit of refurbishing going on to try to get the dome back to its glory days, if you will. It needs it. We know that. Get recruits looking at a shiny new toy, if you will. And then, of course, not only that, but having to go up against the North Dakota States and the South Dakota States and everybody else in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. We know it's an arms race even down at that level. And UNI needs and wants to improve on it. And are they improving on it?
I think so. In the last couple of years, they've surfaced their outdoor practice facility. It's much nicer now. It's all turf field out there. So that was one of the things they got indoor inside the dome. If you've been to a game there, you can see where their team meeting room is now. They use that for donors to rent out during football games on Saturday. But the team meeting room was something new in the last couple of years. And now this $50 million they're putting into the dome, which, if you've been in the dome, they have all the seats are different colors. Well, they're all going to be purple now. So you're going to see a lot of purple. And there's going to be a few more of those boxes that can be bought for donors. That's going to bring in additional revenue. I think that's going to bring down the capacity a couple thousand to around 14,000 or so, or 13.5 to 14,000. So that's part of what they're doing. I think the new sound system's coming into play there. It's going to be a nice renovation. And it's been you got to think about the dome was built opened in '76, I believe. So it's overdue for some major overhaul, and that's what they're getting right now.
We're talking spring football. We got spring sports, summer sports getting going. But you're in hockey mode still, Jim. USHL finals, the Clark Cup finals. I believe 1-1 game 3 in Michigan Friday. And reading game in Waterloo was a tough ticket.
Yeah, Young Arena holds, I think, standing room only, they get up to 3,500, and they are well over 3,000 tickets sold both games, for the playoffs, which is great for an organization like that. When you can get those kind of crowds, it's loud. The roof is close to the ice surface, so they get those cowbells going, and they play in the music, and the 3,000 fans are going nuts. It's really loud in there. You want some earplugs. But real exciting for that first time, the Clark Cup Finals in 10 years. And, the kids are excited. I was just over there today talking to some players, and, they're ready to go and get this done in Michigan. They think they have a really good shot of winning both games up there and, bringing home the Clark Cup title.
Yeah. Yeah, not only that, but you've got UNI basketball with Ben Jacobson. And much different news this year than it was in the past with having to reload the entire schedule. Most everybody going to be back, and a lot of people pegging UNI to be the Missouri Valley Conference favorite going into next year. It's still a lot of months to cover prior to that, but always good to have most of your roster back.
Yeah, for sure. They went out and they got into the transfer portal and they needed to bring in some height and some size in the middle. And with Jacob Hudson leaving, that was a big gift. They got two guys that are 6'10", I believe, that are coming in that can help, with that inside game. But when you can return back Leon Bond III, Trey Campbell, and I'm going to miss them. Ben Schweiger. I'm in football mode and hockey mode right now. But when you can return those pieces back. You got to be excited about this team that they're going to have next year. RJ Taylor will be back from, he blew out his Achilles during the season, so he'll be back. He started the year as a point guard. So this is going to be an exciting team, I think, to watch next year, especially if these transfers come in and really give them, continue that inside presence.
Yeah. You and I are going to be playing in the Acrisure tournament during Thanksgiving next year. Can we finally get Iowa and UNI together, maybe in the same, albeit not in Cedar Falls or Iowa City, but I guess there is a possibility, right?
Yeah, there's a possibility, and I don't know if it's if those games are predetermined or if they're in the same little pod. I think that's going to be out there. But yeah, boy, wouldn't that be nice? And maybe that's going to change with the, you know, with Ben McCollum coming in. Maybe they're going to change their mindset, and we're going to get an Iowa UNI game. You know, why not? Maybe with a whole new coaching staff there. Maybe that they're going to look at that differently.
I would love it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think a ton of people would love it. Indeed.
Yeah, I think there's fan entrance for sure.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy the hockey while we still have it, man.
Yeah, you know, I don't wish the Blackhawks. My hope is they split out there. I'd love for them to go 2-0, but you know, game 5 back here next Tuesday, May 20th. That place will be rocking, and I love game 5. So it would be fun to cover another hockey game here yet.
JJ will probably drive up there to watch it, so look for him.
Oh, yeah. Well, get him in. Maybe I'll put him to work.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, and keep up the great work, Jim.
Hey, thanks, guys. Anytime.
You bet. Jim Nelson joining us from the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. Talk a little UNI football, and hey, we talked some Blackhawks hockey. How about that, huh?
Big rival of Cedar Rapids, and I believe the Rough Riders eliminated by Muskegon, right?
They were, yes, yeah. In the very first round. Hopefully Waterloo can get them.
Yeah.
We're rooting for the Iowa team in this thing, much like I'm rooting for the Canadian teams now in the National Hockey League. We'll talk a little bit more about the breaking news in case you are joining us a little bit late. Major League Baseball reinstating 15 players and one former owner that have been, before that, they have been banned from the Hall of Fame, and that includes Pete Rose and Joe Jackson. And we'll get more of your comments about that and wrap things up when we come back here on the Gym Class for a Tuesday here on 1600 ESPN.
Do you have trouble getting in and out of the bathtub? Are you afraid you'll slip and fall entering or exiting a tub? SafeStep walk-in tubs can transform your bathtub from an area of concern to a calming refuge. Call them today at 1-800-731-4558 and save $1,600. SafeStep walk-in tubs and showers are proudly made in Tennessee and offer an ultra-low step-in, avoiding that difficult climb over a traditional bathtub wall. They also offer a variety of therapeutic benefits that may help soothe your aching muscles and joints, increasing your mobility, boosting your energy, and improving your sleep. SafeStep walk-in tubs are designed to easily fit your existing tub space and are often installed in as little as one day. Just dial 1-800-731-4558 today to save $1,600 and receive a free shower package. That's 1-800-731-4558 for a free no-obligation consultation and to save $1,600. Safe Step walk-in tubs. Safety never felt so good.
More breaking news as we welcome you back at 3:53 here in the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN. Scott, Mark, and Isaac with you. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Not good news for the Boston Celtics, not only for this year, Mark, but for next year as well, as Jack Maloney just a couple of minutes ago reporting that the Boston Celtics star Jason Tatum suffered a torn right Achilles tendon during last night's playoff loss to the Knicks. He has already undergone surgery. The exact timetable is not immediately clear, but he will not be back this season and is expected to miss most of next season as well for the Boston Celtics. Wow.
Shame for any player, especially one like him who's so impactful, and quite a blow for the Celtics, who are already down 3-1.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if they can pull a Willis Reed against Willis Reed's whole former team from way back in yesteryear.
That was tough to see.
Yeah, man, that is. I don't know how the Celtics are going to come back from 3-1, and I don't know how they're going to do it without Jason Tatum. They're going to shoot threes, we know that. So if they make them, I guess they have a chance. Still a lot of texts coming in as far as the breaking news about the reinstatement of Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Would it be the writers of the Veterans Committee voting, and which would be to his advantage, asks 9843.
I think we got to wait and see how this is all going to play out. We just have the first word that, yes, he is reinstated. The only thing I have seen was a report from a writer that said they believe 2028 is going to be the first year that anyone on this list is eligible to go into the Hall of Fame, which, like you said, doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but we'll find out more, I think, in the next few hours.
That's why you should listen to Spencer on Sports in the next couple of hours, because dang near anything can break.
Very true. Very, very true. Nebraska Jason says, now the Hall of Fame should ban sports media like Bob Costas from being allowed to vote. Leave it to the players who played the game.
That may not turn out so well either.
Might find that from Cal next Tuesday. I'm interested to hear what his thoughts are on this and how this is going to play out for Joe Jackson. Everyone's thinking Pete Rose. I think Joe Jackson, I don't want to say is an afterthought in this, but he's not the first person that you're thinking of as far as reinstatement is concerned.
Yeah, it doesn't mean there any of these guys are going to go into the Hall of Fame, although their presence in the Hall of Fame is there right now. It's just induction as a Hall of Famer, and that'll be an interesting, as I said, debate that's going to be played out from now until the first time they're on the ballot.
Very true. Very, very true. More on that coming up. Spencer on Sports will have that from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, taking us up to Cubs and the Marlins coming up this evening. Also in the high school ranks, breaking news. We have the announcement of the replacement for the legendary Tom Lilly at Cedar Rapids Xavier as girls basketball coach. John Gianforte is going to be the new girls basketball coach. He coached at Prairie Boys. That's been a while ago. It's been, as of late, the sophomore boys basketball coach at Xavier. So he's going to take over the girls' side now for Tom Lilly. So best of luck to him.
Best to him. Tough to follow a legend.
It is, but he'll do a good job. All right, stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next, and we'll be back with you coming up tomorrow here on the Gym Class.
Are you ready to make a difference for the environment while helping the visually impaired at the same time? Then donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind today.